out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 19th of September, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, rather than going through some news articles today, I think it's probably best that we talk about a subject, really. And this is something that I mentioned a while back, how important it is that we need to challenge the stereotypes that the mainstream media has of nationalists, how they have this image of uneducated thugs, usually with swastikas tattooed on their faces, just constantly using racial epithets and just hating people just because of the colour of their skin. That's the usual caricature that the mainstream media paints of the nationalists. So obviously in America, they paint them as wearing Nazi uniforms as well. But thankfully, we don't have that over here in Britain. But we do have this problem with nationalists having a bad image in the general public, and it's caused by the mainstream media. There may well have been some thuggish types in the 70s, because the nationalist movement was huge. It was massive. Thousands and thousands of people that were involved in it. So, of course, you're going to have a few thuggish types. Then you had the skinhead movement. And again, it was just the same as all other youth movements. And, of course, there are some that caused trouble, that gave it a bad name. But on the whole, the majority of nationalists aren't troublemakers. Most of us, we're trying to avoid trouble. We're trying to better ourselves. We study, we try to learn what we can about our heritage, about our history, about our people, and we want to be seen as a good example. But how is it that we can get that across to people? How is it that we can get this image, a good image of us, across to people? The nationalist organisations that go out on the protests, a lot of people are very wary of doing that, because they know that then their faces are going to be seen. If it's an advertised protest, you're going to have lots of Antifa there. Of course, they're going to be wanting to take pictures so that they can put them online and blackmail people with it. Blackmail nationalists with pictures of them into keeping silent and accuse them of being racists. They try to find out where people live so that they can get their employers to sack them and tell tales to their neighbours, tell them what a horrible, nasty person it is that's living there, this horrible, nasty racist. And of course, people don't want that. So they tend to be wary of going on these protests and in these demonstrations. And the way around it, of course, is to go to the protest and the demonstration and wear some kind of disguise, wear some kind of mask. But then again, that just looks intimidating to the public. It's the left that wear these masks. We want them to show their real face of the thugs that they are. We want people to see the truth about who we are, and that we care about our people. We care about our people so much that we're willing to risk this social ostracism that comes with being a nationalist, the risk of possibly losing your job. In the case of the young men that were involved in National Action, accused of being terrorists and having your activist organisation outlawed and turned into a boogeyman. And it hasn't stopped any of them from being nationalists. It hasn't meant that they no longer love their country or love their race or love their nation. They do, but they hate the government for doing that to them. They hate the government for doing that because the government are traitors. So how can we get this across to people? I know that if people come across our propaganda, they're very likely to have a surprise and realize that we're not the way that we are portrayed. And of course, that's one of the reasons why these left-wing organizations, they don't put links to our websites, because people, they know that people will have a surprise. And when they go to them, they'll see that we're not the way that we are portrayed by them. Now, I was talking to a colleague the other day, and he had an idea about one of the ways that we can challenge these stereotypes. And he happened to be going to his MP's surgery about an issue. And MPs hold surgeries in every one of the constituencies in Britain. They have to hold a surgery, and what they do there is they go there and they meet people. And anyone that has a problem that they want their MP to take up, they can go to this surgery. They can meet the MP, and the MP will take an interest in it. And this colleague of mine that went there, he was really rather shocked, because 70% of the people that were there waiting to see the MP were non-white. And he doesn't live in an area that is 70% non-white, but it was just full of Muslims and blacks. And it made him think, and it made him wonder whether this was the same all over Britain. Whether when the MPs are holding these surgeries, the only people that they are seeing are the non-whites. They aren't actually seeing any white people. Now, why would that be? Well, probably because most people don't want to see their MP. Most people don't like their MPs. They know that the MPs are traitors. Maybe people don't want their face to be known by the authorities, so they don't really want to even make eye contact with their MP. Maybe white people just think, well, it's pointless going to see them. They're not going to do anything. Why should I bother? It's just going to be a complete waste of time. They're all a bunch of traitors. So there's quite a few reasons why white people wouldn't be going to see their MP. But this is going to give a false view to the MP that everything is fine among the white community. Everything's fine. And it's just among the blacks and the Muslims that have got issues. And it also makes you wonder whether the community leaders of the Muslims and the blacks are saying to them, you have to get out there and lobby your MP. Maybe they're saying that in the mosques. Everybody get out there and go and see the MP. And say that you want to have this new mosque that's being built, and you want new hate crime laws, and you've been a victim of Islamophobia. Particularly that last one. It really wouldn't surprise me if they had it organised for Muslims to go to the MP and report incidences of Islamophobia that don't exist. So many times they've actually been caught out just making it up. And they're never punished. They're never punished at all. Because they say, well, even if this didn't happen, it does happen. It happens all the time. And I thought I'd report it just to draw attention to it. And they never get punished for that. So if you're a white MP and you are sitting in your surgery and 70% of the people you see are black or Muslim, and they're talking about racism and hate crimes and Islamophobia, you're going to think, well, that's the most important thing. In the public's mind, the only people that I'm seeing, this is all that they're really talking about, and that's gonna give them a warped view of society and how society thinks. And in the same way, it's also going to make them think, well, white people are quite happy with what's going on. White people, I don't need to do anything for them because they're not complaining. They're not coming to the surgeries and they're not complaining about it. So this made him think maybe it would be a good idea to get nationalists to go to their MP's surgery and go to the surgery and make a good impression and say you support nationalist ideals, because we are supposed to be going there with our concerns. We are supposed to be going to see the MP. And this would... This would solve two issues. This would let the MP know that we are not happy about the policies that are in place. And the second thing it would do is it would break this stereotype of the uneducated skinhead thug, especially if people were to go and see the MP and make sure they're wearing a good suit and their shoes are polished and their fingernails are clean and they speak in the poshest accent that you can think of. That would really challenge this stereotype, this image of what we are. And it would change that MP's understanding, because these MPs, they've never met nationalists. All they've done is read what's in the newspaper. Nationalists have given up on them. You know, we've given up on the MPs ever doing anything. It's because the idea of this wouldn't be to actually get the MPs to change their policies. The idea of this would be to actually get the MP's image of a nationalist to change, so that instead of thinking of nationalists as young hooligans, they start thinking of nationalists as, well, actually, they're a pretty educated bunch and they just want what's best for the country. And we know that our arguments completely destroy theirs. And they've never heard our arguments before. All they've done is they've read in The Independent or they've read in The Guardian nonsense quotes about us that we just don't like people because we have a certain aversion to certain colours. That's all there is to it. So if we were to go to these MP surgeries and bring up the reasons why we're not happy about immigration, they would then have to answer them. And they would have to take up that cause and bring it forward in Parliament, maybe ask questions in Parliament. If you watch the questions in Parliament, quite a lot of them are MPs asking questions on behalf of their constituents. And it annoys me, because when I see these MPs asking questions, half the time it's for Muslims or it's for Negroes. And this is the reason, because no whites are going to actually see their MP about these issues. And I've got some details from the government's own website about these surgeries here. Most MPs hold surgeries in their constituency to give people an opportunity to meet them and discuss matters of concern. So it doesn't just give you the opportunity to meet the MP, it gives the MP the opportunity to meet a clean-cut, well-educated nationalist representative of nationalism. And that's the point of this. And you can then discuss your matters of concern with them. They usually hold their surgeries once a week and they advertise them locally or online. It's very easy to find out where they hold them. And an MP may then take up an issue on a constituent's behalf. So you could go and see them. You could say, I am very, very concerned about grooming gangs in my area. I'm very concerned that this was all covered up by the police and that people are frightened of being accused of racist, and that's why this went on. Will you ask this question for me in Parliament, or are you afraid that you might get called a racist for doing so? Maybe you could say that. Maybe you could go in there with statistics to show how much of this is going on around the country. Maybe you could go in there with some quotes from the police themselves and from the social workers themselves, who have actually said, well, we were frightened of being called racist. Maybe you could get the results from the official report, which said that it was a culture of political correctness that prevented this from being seen to at the time. There are lots of things that you could do, lots of statistics that you can bring up. It says you can contact your MP when you or people living in your area are affected by decisions made by the UK Parliament or by the government. And of course, we are all affected by the decisions that they have made. You could say that you are you're waiting for an appointment with your GP. You can't get an appointment with your GP for 2 weeks. Well, you could go in there and you could say, what's going on with these GPs? I had to wait 2 weeks for an appointment with my GP, and when I got there, 90% of the waiting room was filled with foreigners. Quite clearly, your immigration policy has had a direct effect on the waiting time I have to wait before seeing my GP with an illness. That's something that could be said. Or it could be pointed out that you had to wait 6 months for an urgent operation on the NHS. Again, because there are too many people in the country. You could go in there, you could say, well, I can't afford to buy a house. My parents could afford to buy a house. The generation before me could all afford to buy a house, but I can't afford to buy a house now because the prices have all gone up because of the demand, because there's too many people all wanting houses and it's pushed the prices up and I can't afford it. And that's down to the government's immigration policy. Will you ask a question in Parliament about the connection between immigration and the houses? Or you could go in there and you could say, my greenbelt land is going to be taken away from me. My children have played on this greenbelt land. I played on this greenbelt land. My grandparents played on this greenbelt land. And now you're wanting to turf it all over, concrete it all over and build on it because of immigration. Maybe you could go in there and say that. Maybe you could go in there and you could say, British people, white British people are not actually producing enough children to replace themselves. Yet we're still having to build houses. Every one of those new houses that is being built is for a foreigner because there are more than enough houses to house the children of the white British people because we're not producing enough to replace ourselves. Logically, that means that every single one of the new houses that they say need to be built isn't actually for someone white, it's for a foreigner. So this is directly affecting the British people. Maybe that's something that could be brought up. You could go in there and you could say, my children's school is massively overcrowded. I don't think they're getting the education that they should be anymore. That's down to immigration. All these things need to be pointed out to the MPs, and they need to be pointed out by articulate, well-dressed, good representatives of our race, so that they realise that actually, yeah, we do have a point. And no, we are not idiots. No, we are not thugs. We actually care deeply about our people and we care deeply about our country. And we're actually the exact sort of people that a government would want in its country. The exact sort of people that a government should be really proud of having. People that are concerned about what's going on, concerned about their community, exactly the sort of people that the government wants. That any country would be proud of having patriotic citizens that are concerned about what's going on for their country, what's going on in the future, what's going on for their children and the generations after. It's absolutely ludicrous that we get painted as being the bad guys. And I think MPs would begin to see that if they saw representatives of nationalism, well turned out representatives of nationalism that went to these surgeries. And they can't get away from you if you're going to see them in the surgery. You've got them. They are sat there in that office and they have to listen to you. So you have your audience. You have a very influential audience. I mean, it's not like you're just going out there to a protest and you're shouting on the street into a megaphone at whoever goes past, and maybe 1 out of 100 of the people that actually walk past that day might try to get in touch with you to join your organisation. You're actually talking to somebody there, one of 600 of possibly the most influential people in the country, and you can have an audience with them and tell them what you think. And how their policies, how their immigration policies and their pro-Islam policies are affecting us. Maybe you could go in there and you could say, I'm rather concerned that we have Islamic blasphemy laws being brought in Britain. And they will say, oh, don't be so silly. What do you mean by that? And you could say, well, the Islamic blasphemy law says that you are not allowed to criticize Muhammad and you're not allowed to criticize Islam. And we have laws that supposedly talk about incitement to hatred and hate crime laws and promoting hatred of a certain religion or a race. And these laws are being used to silence people that criticize Islam and that criticize Muhammad. And they can't argue with that. I really do think that they just haven't actually thought that the hate crime laws are the equivalent of blasphemy laws. I mean, we shout this at our protests, but what MPs have ever listened to that? What MPs have ever listened to what we have to say at protests? They haven't, but they would. They have to if they're sat there in their surgery and you go in there and you tell them all this. MPs have to represent all the people in their local area. And that's whether those people actually vote for that MP or not. You don't have to go to somebody that's an MP of your party. It's just the MP for your area. They have to represent you, whether you're part of their party or not. That's their role, is to represent you in Parliament. Who your MP is depends on where you live. The UK is divided into 650 areas called constituencies, and each constituency is represented by one MP. There you go. I mean, these MPs, that's 650 of them, and they are probably the most influential 650 people in the country because they make up the House of Commons. And you can have an audience with them and tell them what you think about their anti-white policies. I mean, this is a fantastic idea. It really is. I wish I'd thought of it myself. MPs will generally only act on behalf of people who live in their own constituency. So please check that you are contacting the right MP for your address. But there are other instances. You do get MPs that are working on certain bills, like at the moment there's a consultation that's going through Parliament where they want to increase penalties for right-wing propaganda, and they're talking about giving people 6 years for watching right-wing propaganda or linking to right-wing propaganda, especially if people have lots of followers. So what they're talking about there is YouTube channels that make quality propaganda, because you're only going to get lots of followers if you're making quality content. They're talking about YouTube owners who make quality content that have thousands of followers. Just the fact that they have thousands of followers is going to be an aggravating factor, and they could be given 6 years. Now, this is actually being consulted at the moment, and there is a group of MPs that are consulting on this. Well, what you can do is you can find out which MP it is that is consulting on this, and then you can go to their surgery and talk to them about it. You can talk directly to these MPs that are involved in this. You just have to travel, obviously, to that part of the country on the day when they're having the surgery, and you could speak directly to them. Again, this is another good idea. These MPs that have these crazy ideas, these female Labour MPs that have crazy ideas about making moderators of online forums responsible for everything that's said on the forum, you could go and see her, and you could point out why that is wrong, why that is unworkable. I mean, she obviously doesn't understand how the internet works. She's probably not just being obstinate or obtuse. She probably genuinely doesn't understand how the internet works. So it would benefit us if somebody extremely patient and likable was to go there and explain to her why that idea is wrong, why that idea is unworkable, and why that idea would really harm the internet. And that's the best way to actually get it to change, isn't it, when you think about it? You can have a one-on-one conversation with the person that is driving through a silly idea like that, and you can actually get your points across to them. It's far better than writing letters to the newspapers or going out and holding a protest about it. You could go directly to the person that's trying to push that bill through. Go and see that Labour MP. Don't attack her. I mean, calling her names on Twitter, making threats on Twitter, all sorts of nonsense like that, that's not going to help. But going there to see her and being well presented and likable and just pointing out why it's unworkable, that could help a lot. That's the way to go about doing this. That's making the best use of your resources. that's the way to do it. Now, there's a Find Your MP service that the government actually have online, and you can just put your postcode in there or place name of where you live, and then you can find out where your MP is and how to contact them. And of course, the government is trying to encourage people to send letters or send emails or contact them on social media, but that completely defeats the objective here. What you want to be doing is actually going there in person to see them and making a good impression on them and getting your ideas across. If you are sending letters in, it's probably their secretary that reads it. Their non-white secretary, their Muslim secretary that thinks, oh, well, now they don't want to read this. I don't want to hand this over to them. So you stand a much better chance of actually being heard what you are saying if you're going there in person, and you're going to change their opinion of what nationalists are like. It has some suggestions here of reasons why you might want to contact your MP. If you feel you have been treated unfairly by a government office or agency, again, that would apply to this consultation that's going on at the moment that wants to increase these hate crime charges and make it an aggravation for actually making propaganda that is popular among people. You could go there and say, well, this is unfairly affecting white people, isn't it? All these laws against racial hatred, they are unfairly affecting white people. White people can never be the victims of them. It's only ever non-whites that can be the victims of them. If you can think up a good logical argument where you can explain that, then you could go there and explain it to the MP. Because I bet you they've never even thought about that. They never even thought about the fact that these hate crime laws basically mean that minorities are in a privileged position where they are seen as worth more in the eyes of the law than anybody else. If a crime is a crime, it doesn't matter who the victim is, doesn't matter what ethnic minority they come from, the penalty for that crime should not differ, regardless of who the victim was, except possibly by age, but certainly not by ethnicity. That just means that ethnic minorities have a higher value than white people in our society. And I bet these MPs never even thought about it in that way before. You can let your MP know about a problem affecting people in your local area. Grooming gangs. Not enough places at the hospital. Not enough places at the school. Drug problems. Non-white drug problems. Gang problems. Violence problems. Muggings. All sorts of things you could go and see them about. And point out the figures that young Negroes are 10 times more likely to be convicted of a violent crime than white people are. You can say, look, that's what's causing the problem. No, this isn't racism. This is fact. This is what these statistics say. It's not that white police are all racist and arresting 10 times as many blacks as whites and letting all the whites get away with it. It's because they're 10 times more likely to commit crimes. This is a fact. What are you going to do about it? You could bring that up to them. I bet they had no idea that is actually what's going on. Otherwise, they wouldn't be supporting these crazy schemes. You could point out that stop and search, doing away with stop and search, has increased all this massive stabbings, all this crime wave of stabbings that's gone on in London. You could point that out to them. And it also says you could ask your MP to support a particular campaign that you feel strongly about. I doubt whether we'd actually be able to get any MPs to support nationalist campaigns. Perhaps we might at some point in the future. But even if the MP doesn't pay any attention to the issues that you're raising with them, subconsciously they are going to be changing their opinion about who nationalists are, about what the way that we think. They're going to be changing their opinion of us as being young thugs to being educated people. They may still think we are wrong, But they're not going to think of us as being terrorists and people that are trying to create war on the streets. I mean, most of these MPs, they think that white genocide means white people going out and killing everyone. That's what they think white genocide is. They have no idea that it means white people being replaced in our own homelands and being displaced. Maybe that could be pointed out to them. The official UN definition of genocide and that this is happening to white people all around the world. That could be pointed out to them. That's directly affecting us. MPs can make confidential inquiries with officials or a government minister on your behalf. So they don't have to expose you. You can say to them, you want this to be confidential. You want them to find out why this is going on or why that is going on. And they have to keep it confidential. They can also refer individual cases to be investigated by the parliamentary ombudsman. So if you think there's been a case with particular bias against white people, you can get them to investigate it. If they agree to support a cause you have raised with them, they may also choose to raise it publicly in the House of Commons through questions, debates, motions, or amendments. So really, this is a win-win situation, isn't it? Even if the MP doesn't act on what you have told them, they are going to be changing their opinion of who nationalists are. It also means that they're going to be seeing more white people in their surgeries instead of all these non-whites. It also means they're going to be seeing more people that are raising issues about immigration to them, that are pointing out the harms that their policies are actually doing to us. And it means, for us, it means that we are actually able to get our points across to the most influential people in the country. And this really is a good idea, I think. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. Please do find out who your MP is and go and see them in their surgery and make sure that you are well-dressed, well-presented, amicable, and try to make a good impression. And then maybe to encourage others to do the same, maybe make a video about it, or if you want to do it anonymously, just let us know in the Radio Aryan chat room what you've done, and we can talk about it on here and encourage others to go out and do the same. I really do think this is a really good idea. So please do go out and do it. Get on and do it. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless. And hail victory.